There are close to 3.2 billion people in the world who have little to no access to the gospel. Let that just sink in for a moment. 3 billion people. And that's not just a number, that's names, that's faces, that's souls. So the question isn't, should we go? The question is, why wouldn't we? Most of us, I'm assuming, would probably never say this out loud, but deep down, we like to think that missions is for other people, the ultra spiritual, the super adventurous, the ones without a mortgage or a minivan. But here's the truth. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're already a missionary. As soon as church wraps up this morning, Land and I are hopping on a plane to fly halfway across the world to Senegal. And I am so excited to go. I've been looking forward to this. I can't somewhat believe that we actually get to do it and that our church is involved in such a great project, reaching people halfway around the world with the gospel. But we're going to visit Mike and Nikki Howell, our international workers, to see what God has called them to. They've been there now for just over a year. They're finishing up their language studies. And this fall, they're actually going to be starting some of their initiatives. And we're kind of getting in on the ground and just getting to meet together, pray together, and discern where's God leading you? And then how can we as a church support you? How can we get involved and get behind and send more people over, send some of our kids over? I was originally just going to go myself, and I just got to thinking, I'm like, okay, Landon's 11 now, and I'm like, man, like, I know my wife wasn't thrilled about the idea of sending him with me, but we both kind of thought, like, what an opportunity to open his eyes to what God's doing outside of the Binbrook bubble. And it's exciting, it's humbling, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but more than anything, it's a reminder. It's a reminder that the Christian life is not just about being saved, it's about being sent. So if you have your Bibles with you or the Pew Bibles in front of you, turn with me to John chapter 20, verse 21. If you are using the red Bible in front of you, I'll give you the cheat code. It's page 1686. You can go straight there. But it's John chapter 20, verse 21. And there's a couple of reasons. I was talking to someone recently that I love opening our Bibles on a Sunday. One reason is that it holds me accountable to make sure I'm preaching the words that are on the page. The second reason is the more you start opening it on a Sunday, the more likely you're to start opening it during the week and learning how to read it and engage with it. And I do know, and I am a big fan of technology, and I love the Bible app. Some people like the physical Bible. I respect that. I still got a ton myself, but the Bible app, you have it with you anywhere you go. You just have a few more distractions that you have to fight against. But turn with me, and let's actually read this out loud together. I'm also going to have it on the screen. So let's read out loud. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And this is Jesus speaking after his resurrection. He's already been killed, buried, and he's risen again. And he's coming back to his disciples saying, as the Father sent me to the world, I'm now sending you to the world. And he doesn't waste words. He looks at his disciples, and they're still trying to process everything that just happened. And he says something that shifts their entire purpose. He says, I'm sending you. His first call on their lives was, follow me. But now he's saying, I'm sending you. And this isn't a motivational speech. This is a commissioning of his disciples. He's saying, you saw me crucified. You saw me raised. Now go live like it matters. And here's the big idea I want to explore today. Jesus didn't die and rise again so you could live a safe, comfortable life in suburbia. He did it to send us. You're not just saved, you're sent. And believe it or not, we're not just saved to sit in church. I know sometimes we get that mixed up, but Jesus didn't endure the cross so that we could pull into our garages, binge another show, and occasionally attend church when it fits our schedule. He died to send us into the world with a message of hope and love and grace. He died to send us into the world to go across the street. He's sending us into messy lives and uncomfortable conversations, but so that others might live, so they'll find life. We are saved to be sent into the world with this message of salvation that we've experienced ourselves. And sometimes the easiest thing you have to do is just look for where your life and where the gospel intersect. And that cross point is the story that you get to share with your neighbors. And hopefully that's not a story from 20 years ago or 30 years ago or more. Hopefully it's a story from recent. Like, hey, I was going through this problem and I prayed about it and suddenly God met me there and transformed our life. We shared with our marriage course recently that Amanda and I, we were driving and we just got into a big argument over nothing, which is usually the case. And she's like, we need to pray about this. And I'm like, fat chance, I'm not praying. She's like, you're a pastor. So we both begrudgingly prayed, and then we said, now let's not talk to each other. But within a few minutes, that whole car ride just changed. And suddenly we started opening up and sharing some of our stresses and struggles and what's going on. The person of Jesus is real. The power of Jesus is real. He is at work. He's transforming lives, even in silly car ride conversations / arguments. But do you believe it? I remember telling my youth years ago, too, if you won the lottery, how would you come into our youth group? You'd probably be doing cartwheels and flying high and telling everyone that you're buying ice cream and the whole bit. Well, why aren't we like that with the gospel, with the message that has saved and transformed our lives? Why aren't we doing cartwheels and telling everybody we can about the work of Christ in our lives? Because at the end of the day, you are sent. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jesus was on a mission from the Father, and he's now sending you and me in the very same way. On mission. And it's not just for pastors, it's not just for missionaries or the extra holy people sitting among us. Jesus is talking to fishermen. He's talking to tax collectors and doubters, people that are exactly like you and me. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you already have a calling. Sometimes we wrestle with, what does God want me to do with my life? Go out and make him known. And do that in a way that he's wired you, that you're passionate about, that you love doing. You don't need to wait for the lightning bolt moments or the goosebumps where you're like, okay, now I know God's calling me to do this. Let this moment right now be your reminder that you are already sent on mission. Go to where he's placed you. The greatest tragedy for many of us as followers of Jesus is that we've mistaken our salvation as the finish line rather than the starting line. We're kind of like, oh, we're saved, we're good, finished. But it's just the start of an adventure. And that's why we want to keep helping people take their next steps toward Jesus, because buckle up, it's going to get crazy, it's going to get messy, it's going to get bumpy, but it's going to be so transformative and so exciting and so filled with love and grace that we just won't be able to contain it. Jesus was sent with purpose, and so are we. And I love how the Message translation describes Jesus' mission in John's gospel. It's chapter 1, verse 14, and Eugene Peterson writes it this way. He says, "The Word, Jesus, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." That's what Jesus did. He didn't shout his love from a distance. He came close and he entered our world and he stepped into our messy lives. And it wasn't random. It was on purpose. He was sent not to visit, but to dwell. Not just to see, but to save. So the word sent shows up over and over and over in John's gospel. Jesus is constantly saying things like, the one who sent me, or I've not come on my own, but he sent me, or as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And it's not passive, it's not accidental. It's not just about direction, it's about intention. Being sent means that you have a sender, someone sending you. You have a purpose, and you have a destination. Jesus was sent to bring light to the darkness, hope into despair, life into death, and now he sends us. So hear this again. You are not just saved, you are sent. Not by accident, not even by default, but with divine intention. Our lives are not just for convenience, and I know that's not what the world tells us, but our lives are not like Amazon Prime. Like, we are not sent for convenience. We are sent for the kingdom. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And where he's placed us and called us and has us working and the people surrounding us, we all have so many different spheres of influence. It's incredible, the reach. Again, that this small church here in Binbrook can have all around the GTA, and now as we travel overseas, like, we are being used by God to reach how many people with the good news? So if you're a follower of Jesus, don't wait for the feelings. You already have a calling, because at the end of the day, missions isn't optional. At the end of Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, Jesus gives what's known as the Great Commission. And he says this, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And the important thing to remember out of this is that it's the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. He is commissioning us to go. He doesn't say if it's convenient, if you've got some extra time on your hands or some air miles in the bank, consider maybe going. No, he says go. Or better yet, in the Greek, that word is actually while you're going. It's this very active word that it's not waiting for this special moment. It's while you're going, make disciples. But here's the truth. A lot of us live as if missions is optional. I had a great Aunt Muriel who served for over 20 years in Burkina Faso as a missionary. And she never married her whole life and lived to the age of 95. And she was the example for me of who I didn't want to be. I was like, that doesn't look great. I know you thought I was going somewhere else with that. But at the end of the day, when we celebrated her life, when she passed, it was incredible to hear the stories of transformation, of God at work, of her adventures when she took the ship over there because there weren't planes yet, and how she would minister among the people and raise up locals and natives to then build churches and expand the kingdom. And she died with no regrets. We have been given the greatest gift, the gospel. But we like to think sometimes, well, we're off the hook. We live in Canada, or we're too busy, or we tell ourselves, that's not my gifting. That's my favorite one to use. Oh, that's not my gifting. But let me push a bit. Too many of us as Christians are spiritual hoarders. We've been keeping this gospel message to ourselves. We've been storing it in the attic like it's ours to preserve. We say we've been changed by Jesus, but we're afraid to mention his name to our coworker. We talk about everything, sports, shows, politics, memes, but we stay quiet about the one who saved us. So talk about a mission drift. We as the church and as individuals have gotten so caught up in comfort that we've forgotten our calling. And somewhere along the way, we started believing the lie that missions is only for the called. But if you're a Christian, if you're following Jesus, you are the called. So here's the question you have to wrestle with. Are you living as someone who's been sent? And I'm not just talking about overseas. I know that's what we often frame missions as, but I'm also talking about being sent right here in Binbrook to your neighbors, sent to your coworkers, sent to Freshco where you do your weekly grocery shopping, sent to Tim Hortons to see who shows up and wants to chat, and perhaps even sent to your very own home and family where people are needing the healing touch of Jesus. Are you living as someone who's been sent? So let's break it down practically, because there are two mission fields we're called to. There's the local and the global. And that is the one across the street and the one overseas. You don't need a passport to be a missionary. You just need a willingness to be interrupted, to be available, and to be bold. Here's a simple exercise to try. We actually did this years ago when we were meeting at the United Church. Some of you might remember, but draw the number sign or the hashtag on a piece of paper. And in the center of that is your house. And then think of your neighbors on each side, left and right, front and back, kitty corner. Do you know them? Do you know their names? Do you know what they do? Do you love them? I remember when we did this years ago, being really convicted because most of my neighbors were who are more friendly and extroverted. I knew them all. But the ones who were more closed off, kept to themselves, or even sometimes from different cultures and backgrounds, I actually didn't know as well. And Kudzi and Edith, who used to attend our church, they were both from Zimbabwe, and they came over and they were talking to me one day, and there was another African family across the street, and they're like, what are their names? And oh my goodness, I couldn't tell you. I didn't know at the time. And it made me realize that I was sticking to my comfort zone. I was staying close to home. So let's face it, the neighbor you give a friendly wave to each day, that's a mission field. The neighbor who you wave to and who never waves back, still a mission field. The coworker going through a hard time, mission field. The person, when you bring up faith, they just roll their eyes, mission field. But don't rule out the global side either. And that's one of the reasons we're going to Senegal. Not because I have any of the answers, but because I believe we're called to partner with what God is doing. I want to go see, I want to listen, I want to ask, how can we help? How can our church come around and help? Because here's the truth, if our version of Christianity doesn't have room for not just our neighbors, but for the nations, we've missed the plot. God's heart has always been for the whole world, and we want to be a church that reflects that. So this trip, it's about relationships. It's about long-term vision. It's not just a feel-good mission blitz. So what do we do with this, though? Like, you might be sitting here being like, okay, this is stirring, it's moving, sure, it's exciting, but what am I supposed to do with this? Like, you're the one going. Well, first of all, pray globally. Start praying for people and places outside of your bubble. Start praying regularly for missionaries. Put a map on your fridge. Follow our international workers' updates. Ask God to expand your heart. Eugene's actually going to be coming on and helping with our missions team, and he's going to start compiling some resources to help our church engage with global missions and understand what's happening. The second step is live missionally. Mission isn't a trip. It's a mindset. Start seeing your ordinary everyday moments as opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be bold, to invite someone over for dinner, maybe even that neighbor, Invite them over for dinner. Welcome them with open arms. Be the weird person who brings up Jesus in conversations, but in a loving, non-cringy way. Ask someone if you can pray for them. Take a risk. I was listening to Shayla Visser, the leader of the Canadian Alpha organization, and she was saying, people want the weird stuff. Like, we're afraid to be weird, but she's like, people want to see if Jesus can heal, prove it. If Jesus can do all these things you claim, show us, invite us into it. Living missionally means noticing the opportunities right in front of you. And I got an email from a friend of mine, Lucas, recently, and this is outside of my comfort zone, but he's a friend that I met at McMaster Divinity College, and he's an evangelist, and he just has a heart to get the message out to people. And he was recently sitting in IKEA, and while he was sitting there and just doing some reading and praying, and he noticed a man limping with a cane, and he felt God nudging him to go say something. So he actually got up the nerve to go over and say, so I believe in this guy Jesus, and I believe that he can help your leg. Can I pray for you? That's weird. And the man said, yes. So Lucas put his hand on his leg with his permission and prayed for him. And he asked the man, is it feeling any better? And the man said, about 20% better. So then Lucas said, well, can I keep praying? And he prayed again. And believe it or not, he said that man walked out of IKEA without his cane. He said, now he was still moving slow. It wasn't this full healing where he's jumping up and down. But he said this man couldn't believe what happened. And it showed him that I need to be more bold in my faith. And when God taps you on the shoulder, to follow that nudge. Like, I'm not expecting all of us to have that Lucas encounter this week. Like, I get that that's tough. But do you believe it? Like, we have our prayer teams come to the front every other Sunday. And do we believe that when we actually come forward for prayer, that God's going to answer those prayers, that he's going to bring healing, that he's going to do what only he can do? That's what it means to live missionally, to pay attention for what's going on around us, looking up from our table at IKEA and being willing to take the risk. Sometimes the biggest mission field isn't across the world, but it's across the food court, or it's across our table, or across the street. And while not all of us will have a moment like that, all of us can still play a part by supporting intentionally. Support those who are already living overseas, who are going. Give generously. Get behind missionaries and international workers. Right now, the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Canada has around 219 international workers serving in 30 countries, reaching 66 least reached people groups. That's incredible. And the coolest thing of being part of the Alliance is that they don't have to raise their own funding. We collect it. That's why we give to the Global Advance, and we support them and bless them so that they can do what they're called to do. But they can't do it alone. So encourage them, write to them, let them know they're not in this alone. I heard that Todd and Oliver, the kids that we're going to be going to see, that they love getting snail mail. Like, when they get a letter, they're, like, so excited. So Amanda this morning is actually getting all the kids downstairs to write Todd and Oliver letters, and we're going to hand deliver it to them along with a giant bag of candy we bought at Costco. But maybe for you, support looks like giving to missions or sponsoring someone or even praying about going yourself. But here's what you have to do. You have to ask honestly, God, where are you sending me? It might be to your kids, to your school, to your sports team, to a different country. But maybe you're feeling that nudge, like God's calling you to something, and you don't know how it's all going to work out. Well, let me remind you, you don't need to understand the whole plan. You just need the faith to take the next step. The kingdom of God is often not this GPS with the full guidance from the beginning to the end. It's more like a flashlight where you can only see one step in front of you. And as you take that step, God will reveal more. But if he's calling you, don't wait for clarity. Walk in obedience. Don't wait till it's easy. Trust him anyways. Take the next step. But here's the thing. Don't ask if you're not willing to listen. In 2006, when I had moved into my own home here in Hamilton and had my dream car, a black Volkswagen Jetta, Wolfsburg edition, and I was like, yes. I remember telling God, I'd give up any of this if you asked me to. And I was confident he would never ask me to. Well, a year later, when he grabbed a hold of my heart on January 1st, 2007, I sold everything and moved out west to go into full-time ministry. So I'll say it again. Don't ask if you're not willing to listen. But as I prepare to head to Senegal today, I want you to know we're not going alone. We're going as representatives of you, of the well, of our church. And I'm excited to come back and share stories and show pictures and open the doors for others from our church to go to. But join our mission. This isn't just my trip. This is our mission. We don't just attend church. We are the church. And at the end of the day, the world isn't going to change by us sitting still. It changes when we go, when we live sent. You don't have to cross an ocean to be a missionary. You just have to cross the street. But don't rule out the ocean either. So here's what I'm asking today. Pray for me and Landon this week as we go. Pray for open doors, for safety, for connection. Ask God what it would look like for you to live sent, not someday, but this week. And then start dreaming about what it might look like to go, whether that's a trip, supporting someone, or simply living with more purpose right here and now. If God's nudging your heart today, just know you don't have to have it all mapped out. You just have to be willing to take that next step. Because when you do, he will meet you there and he will transform everything that you ever imagined. Here, let me close in prayer. God, thank you that you didn't just save us to sit still. You didn't just save us to play it safe. You saved us to go and to live sent. So right now, I just want to pray for every person in this room. Would you speak to our hearts? Show us where you're calling us to go. Maybe it's across the world, or maybe it's just simply across our street. Maybe it's even into a conversation that we've been avoiding. Wherever it is, God, give us courage and help us to be bold. Help us to not just feel inspired, but to live obedient. And God, as we're praying today, I just ask that you would nudge people that you're wanting to speak to, that you're wanting to just tap on the shoulder. Give them the boldness and the courage to have that conversation, to sign up to serve, or go to that place that they're afraid to go. And God, wherever that might be, I pray that their response would just be, God, I'm available. I want to be used by you. I want to be live sent. God, continue to fill us with your Spirit. Give us courage, help us in our obedience, and send us where you want us to go. Use our lives for something that lasts forever. Thank you for how you're moving in our midst and how you're moving around the world, whether or not we see it. Thank you for calling us to participate in the expansion of your kingdom. God, help us to all live sent. Help us to say yes. We're ready to go. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.